John 13. Tonight we're going to look at the fifth principle of the Master's plan of evangelism, and this is the principle of demonstration. I want to go ahead and read beginning in verse 1 in chapter 13 of John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You're not all clean. And so after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, verse 15, I want to point out, I'm not going to be preaching on this story, so to speak, but in verse 15, we find that Jesus, after having washed their feet and shown them what it meant to forgive and to serve his disciples, he tells them, I have given you an example. What I've done for you, so you can do as I've done to you. And so this is something tonight we're going to look at, the principle of demonstration, how he demonstrated to his disciples the Christian life, if you would. In our text, Jesus girded himself with a towel, and if you'll look at your introduction there, and by his actions, he provided them an example to follow. So the blank there is example. He's given them an example to follow. And Jesus understood the principle of not only teaching by word, but by example. So there we got another blank example. And the truth is, we learn more of the Christian life by example than by teaching. So all three blanks are example. I just want to emphasize that word. That's why I did it that way. I want you to know that example is important when it comes to discipleship. Our example, because you probably heard it said, actions speak louder than words. You know, our kids, for example, they're going to follow more what they see in us do than what we tell them to do. And so our example is so much more, speaks so much louder than our words. You know, when we see a godly Christian living a life of patience and showing compassion, who's steady in his Christian life, that's going to make a difference in the lives of those that are new believers. When they see that example, they're going to see a model. And they're going to want to become like these model Christians. And if you were here last Sunday night for our New Year's fellowship, we did some games and we did some questions for you to ask yourselves at your table. We've asked you to share, for example, your salvation testimony with those around your table. And another question we asked was this: how has someone played a part in helping you to mature as a disciple? You know, that's a very important question. And it wasn't, the purpose of that question Sunday night was not just to stimulate your thinking, not just to give you something to talk about around your table that was of a spiritual nature, but really it was to teach you what discipleship is all about. That was one of our purposes, because you know what? A lot of times when we get together to fellowship, and I'm talking about it could be before church. You know, we spend time fellowship when we go around and talk to people and visit, maybe after church, or when we have a what we would call a fellowship after church. We have food or something like that, a New Year's Eve fellowship or whatever it be. Oftentimes, we spend our time talking about trivial things. I mean, am I right? I mean, when we talk, when we came in tonight, for example, and you fellowship with your brothers and sisters, and what did you talk about? I mean, was it just trivial things, you know, about maybe the weather, maybe politics, maybe sports, or what have you? I'm not saying those things are bad, but what I'm saying is we would like to help our church members to try to be more intentional about discipleship. And so when we are together, we can talk to one another about spiritual things to stimulate one another. For example, what if someone came up to you this week and or tonight after church and said, "How's your Bible reading going?" I mean, you might either get convicted or you might get excited, or I mean, but you know, that's a good question, and it's a good question to ask each other. How's your Bible reading going? What have you learned from the Bible this week as you've got it and dug into the Word of God? Or maybe even I'd like to share with you what God has shown me in my Bible reading this week. Or maybe ask, What are some challenges you're facing this week that I could pray with you about? You know, those are questions that really would stimulate us spiritually. What about, you know, has God put anybody in your path to witness to this week? Is there somebody that you've been praying for that they would come to know the Lord as their Savior? You know, when we ask each other questions like that, you know what it's going to do? It's going to cause us to think, well, especially if every time we come to church or every time we fellowship, we get those kind of questions, we're going to start thinking about those things. And we're going to be thinking about, you know, I need to, you know, be a little bit more consistent in my Bible reading. I need to get in my Bible and get something out of it so I can share with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Or maybe I need to be more aware of people around me that need the gospel and you know, to try to reach them with the gospel. You know, back to that question, how has someone played a part in helping you mature as a disciple? That's a really good question. And my wife and I, we shared a little bit about how that when we had just gotten married, you know, around that time, we were not really being faithful in church. We were both saved, but we were not. We were kind of hit and miss going to church and things like that. But the Lord put a couple in our lives, and it was Tracy and Shauna Ruby. And this is Terry's brother and sister-in-law. And they were very consistent in showing concern for our spiritual life. They were consistent to come by and visit us. I know they were consistent to pray for us, and they were just a consistent example. And I remember that when we turned our lives back over to the Lord and we surrendered our lives to the Lord, we began to be faithful in church, and we began to go to prayer meeting at church, which was Saturday evenings. We would meet for praying for the Sunday services. We would go out Thursday night for church visitation. And I want to tell you that I learned so much just by watching. Just by watching Brother Tracy. I mean, I would go with him to make visits, and I would be the silent witness or the silent partner. And just watching him talk to people. Just watching him share the gospel with people. And I remember there was a time that he even shared with me, we were driving, and he shared with me the plan of salvation, how to take somebody through the plan of salvation to lead them to Christ. But you know, I learned by his example. I learned by his model, by watching him. And when we would go and pray for prayer meeting, you know, I really was weak in my prayer life at that point in time in my life. And, you know, just listening to Brother Tracy pray, it helped me to learn how to pray. Just watching his life, listening to his life, watching their example, you know, that's what made a difference in helping me to mature as a disciple of Jesus. And, you know, down the road, God sent other people in our lives to, at different stages of our life, to do that very thing. I think of Pastor Darter. You know, he was someone who was such a great pastor, and I learned so much from him just by watching and how he handled church business and other things in the church, and learned a lot from him. And just the example by demonstration. And this is a principle that Jesus used in his disciples. And we're going to look at three things tonight. These are not the only three things that he did by example, but number one, by example, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. He taught them how to pray by example. Did you know that more than 20 times in the four Gospels, we find Jesus praying? And so there's a lot of references to times he prayed. I want you to look in Luke chapter 3. We're going to look at some of these examples. And I like Luke's Gospel. A lot of them are found in Luke because Luke presents him as the Son of Man. We find a lot of his human side in Luke, and one of them being prayer. But in Luke 3:21, this is at his baptism. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened." He was praying during his act of baptism. And you got to realize, I mean, people's eyes are up on him. He's the Son of God, and here he is praying. Let's go to another scripture. Hold your place in Luke. We'll come back to Luke 5. But go to Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And notice the next verse, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him." And so they were his disciples, though Jesus went off into the solitary place, the disciples later went and saw him praying. Then in Luke 5, we see another example in verse 16. In Luke 5, verse 16, it says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." And so Jesus was constantly praying. We come to chapter 6 in Luke in verse 12, and we see that it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This was before choosing the 12. And then look at Luke chapter 9, verse 28, the Mount of Transfiguration. It says, "And they came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." You know, we could go on and on. I mean, at his Last Supper, he prayed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. Even on the cross, he prayed. Let's look in Luke 22. I want to look at this. This is one of those examples. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out and he went, as was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said to them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them by the stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You know, we can go on, but you know, Jesus, it was no accident that he allowed his disciples to see him praying all the time. Now, he wasn't praying just so he could be seen by them, but he literally lived a life of prayer. He literally lived in dependence on his Father. Jesus is the perfect example for us. And he was, by demonstration, teaching them how to pray. Now, I want you to go back to Luke 11. I want to read the first verse there. This is where we're coming to tie this up here. He says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" And so what happened here was his prayer life had caused the disciples to get hungry to know how to pray. Just watching him pray. And seeing that his life was characterized by prayer, seeing that he often would go early in the morning and to a solitary place and pray, seeing that when he was even in public, he would pray. He would constantly be in prayer. And so they finally came to the point where they were so hungry, they wanted to know how to pray. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." You know, Jesus didn't force the lesson upon them. He waited. He modeled it. He demonstrated it to the point to where they were asking him. And so when he began to teach them how to pray, they had a heart that was ready to receive that truth. They had a heart that was receptive to that truth. And from this time forward in his ministry, he taught many times on prayer. Luke 18's example, he taught them men ought always to pray and not to faint. I mean, constantly teaching by demonstration, and yes, by word. But we see an important principle here, the part of demonstration. And so when we disciple others, we can't just expect to sit in a classroom and go through principles of prayer. Okay, these are the principles. This is what the Bible says, and this is an example of prayer in the Bible. You know, that's good and all for teaching. We need that. But people learn by demonstration. They learn by example. They learn by watching. How do you think children learn to pray? They listen. They listen to their parents pray. They listen to others pray. Let's go to number two. By example, Jesus taught his disciples how to use Scripture. You know, this was another important aspect of a Christian life that Jesus taught his disciples by demonstration. You know, Jesus, he never ceased to use the Scriptures when he was dealing with other people. Even in his own personal devotion, his own personal life, he never ceased to use Scripture. There are more than 60 references in the Gospels where Jesus referenced Old Testament passages of Scripture to his disciples. Over 60 references. That's a lot. And there are over 90 references in his dialogues with other people besides his disciples. So you're looking at over 100 references that Jesus in his teaching and just conversing that the Gospels have Jesus referring to Old Testament Scripture. Now, we know that the Gospels didn't record everything in his life, but it gives us a glimpse. It gives us a picture. It shows us that his life was saturated with the Word of God. And at least two-thirds of the Old Testament books, think about that, two-thirds of them are found in his references to the Word of God. I mean, he knew the Word of God by heart. I love reading the Scripture where, you know, I've been reading John this week, the Gospel of John, and it's interesting how the Pharisees, like, they're marveling at Jesus. You know, how did this man teach, not having letters, not having been taught? You know, he didn't go to the rabbinical schools, but he knew the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. And so all this served to show the disciples how they too should know and use the Scriptures. He was showing them by example. And this principle of supremacy of the Word of God in the life of the disciple was practiced by Jesus repeatedly before them. And it must have impressed upon the disciples the importance of learning the Holy Scriptures by heart. I mean, we need to learn it by heart. It needs to be a part of us. It needs to be in us. It needs to be memorized. It needs to be studied. It needs to become a part of our life if we're going to be his disciple. Did you know Jesus taught his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, that's an if. If you continue in my word. You know, we're not really being committed disciples. I preached about Sunday about, you know, how one of the things we need is to be committed disciples, devoted disciples, to follow Jesus. If we are, then the Word of God is going to be something important to us. And, you know, the best way that we can disciple others is model that. And so we have to stop and start thinking, okay, am I modeling that? Am I actually internalizing the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God? And is it so much a part of my life and my conversations with other people that others are going to see by my example? You know, when we talk to people, there should be Scriptures inserted in there once in a while. We ought to be talking the Word of God, sharing the Word of God. Number three, by example, Jesus taught his disciples how to win souls. He taught them how to win souls. Everything Jesus said and did really had some relevance to evangelism. You look at his ministry, he said, "I came to seek and save that which is lost." You look at his life. Look at how Jesus was constantly reaching out to people. Everywhere he went, you know, I've been reading John, as I said, and I've enjoyed seeing not just in chapter 1, there he is reaching those early disciples, Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, and some of those. But then you get into chapter 3, Nicodemus, and then chapter 4, that woman at the well. And just to see his compassion for the lost, people of all different classes, rich people, poor people. There was a certain nobleman, talking about in John 4, at the end of chapter 4, there was that certain nobleman had a son that was nigh to death, and Jesus healed him, and that man came to faith in Christ. And so it didn't matter if they were rich, it didn't matter if they were some immoral woman, like that woman at the well that had living with a man that wasn't her husband and had had 5 husbands, and it didn't matter. He was reaching people with the gospel, with salvation truth. And he was demonstrating it. The disciples were following him. They were watching him. They saw him engage people in natural settings. They saw him engage people in formal settings, in the synagogue preaching, on the mountaintops preaching. They saw him as he dealt with Zacchaeus and different ones, you know, you read in the Gospels. And so they observed how he drew people to himself, how he built confidence, how he shared the gospel, salvation truth with them, and how that uh, he he called them to decision. And so they saw Jesus, the Master, at work, winning people to Christ. He was demonstrating for them how to do it. You know, in Ghana, it was really easy to practice this principle in some ways, because when we'd go out for evangelism, we would often go in groups and not just twos. We'd go in groups, and sometimes we would break off when we'd get in the village in smaller groups. But what was interesting was, you know, a lot of times they would set up a situation where we would have people that said they were interested in us preaching the gospel to them. And so they would start setting out chairs or benches, and they would call all the neighbors around, their friends, their family, whatever. And there may be a group of 10 people there, you know, that's right there. We got a prime opportunity to share the gospel. And I want to tell you, in most of those early years, every single time I was the one preaching. And the reason why, I was demonstrating. And I've said this to some of you, but I never preached the same message. And another thing that I practiced that was totally contrary to what I like to do, but I never prepared the message ahead of time. I just went. It was on the off the cuff, because a lot of times we didn't know what was going to happen that day. We didn't know if we was getting an opportunity or not, but they would set up a situation, they'd look and say, "Pastor, they're ready for you." And I'm sitting there thinking, "Okay, Lord, give me a verse, give me a story, give me some story in the Bible," and I would pray, and God would just give me something. I would some gospel story, and I would take that story and begin to share that story, and from that story illustrate the gospel and share principles of salvation. Then we would begin asking questions and so on. But I did that many, 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 many times just so they could watch and listen. We even had some of the guys that went with us get saved because they would hear the gospel every week over and over and over and over as they went with us. And they wouldn't say baptized members, but they just wanted to go. And so they'd go with us, and they would end up getting saved. And, you know, now, you know, toward the end of that ministry, I was able to say, "All right, guys, it's your turn. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just going along. I'm just walking for the walk." And so they would set it up, and I would sit down, and they would do all the preaching. And so that was so exciting, you know, just by demonstration. They learned. We had classroom teaching. We had Bible Institute. We'd teach them soul winning. We'd teach them, you know, the gospel. We'd teach them all those things. But, you know, they really learned watching the example. They learned by demonstration. And listen, the principle applied today. As we seek to disciple others, we have to be prepared not only to teach by word, but by example. I want you to look at a verse before we close tonight, 1 Corinthians 11. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 11. And look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know, the word follower here is a word that means mimic or to imitate. And so Paul is saying, "I want you to imitate, I want you to follow my example, even as I follow Christ's example." And so Paul is saying, you know, I'm following Christ, I'm following his example, so I want you to follow me even as I'm following Christ. And, you know, this is very powerful because, you know, he was modeling for them Christ-likeness, what Christ would do. And listen, before you start thinking, "Well, I've got too many faults in my Christian life, I can't do that, I'm not mature enough to do that." Listen, Paul had faults. Paul had flaws in his life, but he was passionate about following Christ. And that's the key. You know, we're not modeling perfection. I'm not modeling perfection. I don't have it. I can't. I mean, I'm not Jesus. I can't model like Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He was a perfect model, but we are not. We have flaws. So we don't model perfection. We model redemption. We model transformation. You know, what happens when people are watching our lives, and let's say that we fail. They need to watch and see what we do. What do when we fail? Do we confess that sin? Do we apologize to those that we hurt and offended? Do we have humility? Do we quickly get things right? Get back up and continue serving the Lord. See, that's how we model. We got to model for them reality that we are sinners. We are going to have flaws, and we are going to have times we fail. We may fall flat on our face, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid for others to follow you. All we need to have, really, you stop and think about it, is a passion for Christ. Just like I preached Sunday morning about Peter. Jesus told Peter, "Do you love me?" 3 times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Go feed my sheep." You know, it all comes down to our love to Christ, our passion, our love for Christ. And, you know, when people see that in our lives, they can, you know, overlook a lot of our flaws. You know, our weaknesses shouldn't impair our ability to disciple others. Just as long as we have transparency, just as long as we have honesty. And really, that helps a lot of people because they see that you know, we're just like them. You know, when I discipled people in Ghana, I was very transparent. I was very, times I failed, I was very honest about it. I was very transparent about my life. You know, well, I had an argument with my wife this morning, you know, so. You know, you're transparent about those things. And they come to realize that, hey, I'm not some super hero Christian that never sins. Because, you know, people are sitting there thinking, I can never achieve that. I could never be like that. And the truth is, we can't. And so we don't need to model hypocrisy. We don't need to be a hypocrite and try to pretend that we're something we're not. We got to model for them what the Christian life really is. So as we conclude this tonight, we need to realize that people who follow us, they're going to do what they hear and see in us. That's what they're going to do. And so we need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And, you know, how are new believers going to learn to pray? How are new believers going to learn how to walk the Christian life? How are they going to learn how to deal with the daily burdens of life? How are they going to learn how to pray? How are they going to learn how to tithe? And how are they going to learn to be involved in ministry in the church? I think the answer to all those questions really is they're going to learn from mature Christians, watching mature Christians. And so may God help us to be careful about our example and to strive to be a good example, strive to follow Christ so others can see in us an example, a demonstration of what it means to follow Jesus. Well, let's stand tonight, and we're going to close in prayer. A reminder that we need help after the service. If you can stay and help with the putting the Christmas trees, taking them down, and so on. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for how he demonstrated what it meant to pray and to win souls, and his love for the Scriptures, and how he would use the Scriptures in every part of his life and interacting with others. And Father, help us, Lord, to be examples. Help us to strive to be mature Christians, Christians that can disciple others, Christians that can be apparent to those that are growing and learning. And Lord, help us even as parents in our home to realize that we have others watching our lives, and we need to be an example for them, and so they can see Christ in us. And Father, we pray for Your Holy Spirit to just work in us and use us and transform us and help us, Lord. And I know that He will, if we would surrender to Him tonight. And Father, that's what I pray, that each and every one of us would be willing to surrender all to Jesus, be willing to follow Him as a committed disciple. And Lord, bless Your word tonight and use it in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.